Podcasting 2.0 for March 28th, 2025, episode 216, Salty Sage. Hello, everybody. Welcome once again to Podcasting 2.0. We are not a product. We are not a service. We're a concept. We're a podcast. No, wait. We're a boardroom. Yes, the board meeting takes place every single Friday. And just in case you didn't know, we are the only boardroom that has not read the entire Infinite Dial Report. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man who somehow still has time to write blog posts. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one, the only, Mr. Dave Jones!
I was dangerously close to needing the Heimlich right there.
Yeah, were you choking on your beef milkshake?
No, I was furiously trying to get that chicken salad, that bite of chicken salad to go down before the... before you hit the post.
Oh, you're eating chicken salad. That's a departure from your regular beef.
No, I've got a beef milkshake. That's my drink to go with the chicken salad. No, I'm up in the 900 calorie range for this lunch right now.
Your diet is something else, man. It should have its own podcast. Dave's diet needs its own podcast. I'm just saying.
It's only on Friday. I mean, what I eat on a daily basis is I'm a very consistent person. Like I tend to do the same thing every single day.
And that's what I heard from your wife.
No, she makes fun of me for it. She makes fun of me for it because I'm just like one of those, like Matlock or whatever. He's got like 12 of the same suit in his closet.
You know? Yeah. Perfect.
Like that's very much like me. So I eat a half pound beef patty for breakfast every morning.
Mm.
I eat
raw, right? Just a raw beef patty.
Yeah.
I'm the pod sage.
And then a beef protein shake for lunch with a salad. And then whatever we fix for dinner. I mean, every single day, but on Fridays, I'm so pressed for time. When I hit the door of my house, I have about 10 minutes to get into the podcast room to get going on this. And so I'm like throwing stuff together, get beef milkshake as fast as I can. And then whatever's in the fridge,
you just glob mayonnaise onto the bread. Yeah. Don't even spread it. We spread it with your hands. Like,
yeah.
Boom. Exactly. My face.
Yeah. Sometimes I end up with popcorn. Sometimes I end up with like a bag of nuts, you know, it's beautiful. You never know.
Beautiful. Yeah. Well, maybe that explains it because you are now officially Salty Sage.
Hmm?
You're Salty Sage, man.
What does that mean? I don't understand.
Okay, I will explain it to you.
Where does this reference?
I will explain Salty Sage. To put it bluntly, stop complaining about YouTube if you can't even do what they do. If you only do half of a thing, someone else will come along and do the other half. And that's on us for not finishing. Salty Sage!
Cracking the whip.
I love it.
Is it true?
No, it's absolutely true. But when it comes from you, in fact, that's going to be a show title, I think. I think it's a show title candidate, Salty Sage. When it comes from you, people pay attention. When it comes from me, it's like, that's just Curry. Yeah, it's different when it comes from you. That's because
you're spicy all the time.
Yes, I'm always like that. And then,
with me, I have a measured and appropriate use of spice.
That's correct. And I'm just spicy all over the place. And people just like, he's too hot. He's hot Curry. He's too hot to handle. I can't handle
hot Curry.
He's too hot to handle. I had a radio show called Hot Curry at one point. That's
pretty
funny. I did. It was like, Hot Curry. That's exactly what it was like.
I need some clips from Hot Curry.
Boost! Okay. Yes, everybody, we are live, we are lit, and that is exactly the topic of Dave Jones, the Pod Sage's most recent blog post. Do you want to talk about that now? Because I have some other things I think we should get into, but it was top of mind for me.
Well, whatever. I mean, we can do whatever. I have no agenda today.
No, I have it on Sunday.
And so Thursday.
Let me, I'll ease you into it. So every one of my favorite podcast listens was about the Infinite Dial Report.
Even Pivot?
Even Pivot was like, it's the Infinite Dial Report. Let's talk about it.
No, hey, that, Prof G, have you read the Infinite Dial Report?
Oh, I'm sure he has. Well, that's those are hate listens, but Podcast Weekly Review.
Power.
And the new media show. It was great. I was walking the dog. During both of my afternoon and my evening walk, I was able to get the whole Infinite Dial Report without even touching it. Because Todd and Rob basically sat there and read it throughout the whole show.
This is like, okay, this is like Security Now podcast, which I'm not going to throw shade. I love Steve Gibson. I love that show. But it really is him just reading five different, like, 1500 word articles during the show. It's sometimes I have to skip around, you know.
Well, in this case, it was quite interesting. And there's really only one thing that stuck out to me, because of course everyone's like, video, audio, YouTube, podcast, Spotify,
that they're bringing this up, because I've heard none of this.
Well, there's only one. No, there's actually two takeaways from the entire report, as I have distilled it from the distillation already done by our colleagues over at Power and the new media show.
Now, did you use Microsoft Copilot to convert the transcript?
Yes, I did. You mean like Satya Nadella? Yeah, it's much more exciting.
That is such a load of crap.
What an a-hole. That guy...
Everybody reported it as if it was a real thing. He doesn't do that. Give me a break. That's like a self-serving ad.
I find it much more interesting to interact with the co-pilot on the transcript of the podcast. It's much better in the car. It's much better. No, it's not.
That
Satya
is a
Nadella.
Load of horse crap.
In his pants. Yes, that's horse crap. No, the number that really, you know, everything is at 97%. Everything's 97%.
Even climate change.
Climate change. That's the amount of scientists who agree on anthropogenic.
I like anthropogenic. That's a great term. I wonder if that has this feeling like it might be real. Let's see.
Anthropogenic.
I gotta. I'm trying to find this. Anthropometric is in word, well, but not close. Anthropogenic. That's pretty close.
What is it? What is the anthropogenic? Is that it? Is that
anthropogenic?
No, that can't be it. Anthropogenic? No. No, that's not. Now I'm confused.
Yeah, originating in human activity.
Okay, anthropogenic. Well, what did I say? Anthropogenic.
Anthropogenic.
That's my new term. That's my new
anthropathetic,
term.
Anthropathetic. Yes.
No, everything was kind of up there. You know, podcast listening is up. And then there's a lot of, discussion about, well, they said, consumed a podcast. What does that mean? Well, to me, it means you ate it. But okay. You consumed a podcast. Well, that could be more video, audio, blah, 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 blah. Here's the one that interested me the most, and I thank God for bringing us Tom Webster the other week.
I really got a lot out of that.
Me too. In fact, something I almost never do, I listen to our own show.
I did too, and I never do that either.
How about that?
That's interesting. I did too. I listened to almost the whole thing,
Yeah, because I wanted to make sure that I heard everything he was saying and the things he wasn't saying, but he was saying without him knowing it. You know, the intent, underlying things.
Yeah.
It's a little hard when you listen to Tom Webster to get past
the "I'm Tom Webster, and I have important, interesting things to say."
The guy's got a set of pipes that won't quit.
He does.
And he was talking about how people still get in the car and listen to AM/FM radio. And the Infinite Dial Report, the Infinite Dial Report has been around for a long time. I think it's 25, 26 years. And they've really upped the amount of respondents. And, it's, statistics. Lies, damn lies and statistics. But they kind of know what they're doing. I don't like that. They're sponsored by companies in the business. I don't like that.
Yeah.
I think that's unfortunate, but I guess we can't all be Pew Research. Pew Research. Pew, pew.
The Infinite Dial, just to be clear, is not podcast specific.
No, it's
right.
No, in fact, they had social media stuff in there. And I really don't care for the podcast industrial complex in general, this obsession with numbers. And I mean, it's just, I don't care for it because just like radio and television, we really have crap measurement. We really don't know what's going on. I guess some streaming stuff, but yeah. Anyway, the number that interested me the most, where I see the most growth potential, was in the car. Because in the car, people who use their phone, and I'm just kind of rounding up the numbers and going by what I remember, because that's just as good as the actual number as far as I'm concerned.
Not in my car.
Well, right. Between CarPlay and Android Auto, it was about 40% of people who use their phone in the car. Wow, what a lot of opportunity there is there. And I think it's mainly two reasons. One is they don't have great interfaces. And that kind of comes back to what Tom Webster was saying. You know, I don't really... Well, no, they have great interfaces for podcast listening, but there's not really a serendipity, discovery, spinning the dial type experience, which, funny enough, we're working on a version of that. It was, to me, it was kind of like, oh, there's confirmation. Mm-hmm. But also, that's where people are going to listen. And that's, and you know, everyone's going back to work now. We've got commute times have come back in. The whole world is eventually moving back to going to an office. Not everybody, but I think we're going to see most people going back. We're seeing car manufacturers kind of giving up on the in-car entertainment. As far as I can tell, it seems like it's half-hearted attempt.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're bringing your own entertainment. Everything is on your phone in order to sync media and do stuff and rip you away from what you already have and bring it into the car. I think it's very, very difficult. So, you know, that's why, you know, Sirius XM, I don't think Sirius XM was, I don't remember if they even had a number for that. But AM, FM radio, I understand. And it once again dawned on me that, you know, there's so that's the opportunity. YouTube does not have a great in-car experience. They just don't.
I don't know what the in-car, again, because my car is not, you know, the most modern car we have is from 2012. And even at the time, in that Honda, it was not a great system. So the other two vehicles that we have don't even, you know, they're from the 60s. So they don't even have, one of them doesn't even have a radio. So I'm really sort of at a disadvantage here to know what the modern car in-car experience is for any of these apps.
Well, I mean, what is possible? I mean, if you look at a navigation app, if you look at Waze, which I have to admit, I use that because it's really good. Although I know Google is listening to me, watching me, you know, checking my blood pressure. I mean, the screen's interactive. You can touch stuff. You can zoom in. It pops up dialogues for warnings that are user generated. You can do a lot of great things with it. In general, podcast apps kind of all do the same thing. You know, what you'd expect, inbox type, inbox, most recent, the basic stuff. So listings, really. It's not even, I don't think anyone's even drawing boxes on the screen or anything. So there is just so much opportunity to create a kick-ass, exciting experience for in-car entertainment. And what's, I think, interesting, and we're discovering this, what's interesting is the addition of the live tag. Ooh, see how I did there? The addition of the live tag can really add some excitement, serendipity, and push button experience of discovery to the entire in-car listening experience. And now that the lit tag and live streams are an integrated part of the RSS feed ecosystem, or as some say, ecosystem, pivot, hate listen. I think that is a very exciting thing for app developers to take a look at. I mean, you can even I mean, TuneIn had the right idea, but they got greedy and they got too much venture capital money and they overhired, and they were really creating just a directory of radio stations, and they forgot to put all the good thinking into it. They were just like, oh, we can charge these guys money. Give me money to get listed. And they never really got the podcasting part right. Sirius XM is similar. They try to do something kind of interesting with their app, but it already breaks the whole concept of, for me, Sirius XM breaks the concept of radio in general. You know, mm-hmm. I've never had a radio that I had to put a quarter into to listen. And that's pretty much what, you know, oh, you can get this exclusive live stream, subscribe to this. So there is just ample opportunity and clearly a long way to go. There's 60% of people. Now, I'm sure there's a number of people who don't even have CarPlay, et cetera, in their vehicle, but they still mm-hmm. may be connecting their phone to Bluetooth. And like the Audible app, I don't know if you've ever used the Audible app in car mode.
I have not. I've used. Well, wait. I have used it on car mode on the device. I haven't used it in car mode in a car.
So it's a quite interesting concept. You know, it's like this is kind of, you know, if you don't have CarPlay or Apple Play, the CarPlay or Android Auto, then you have a, you know, you still have your holder for your phone, and you kind of stick it on your dashboard, and it removes all of the small things, gives you big buttons. And mm-hmm. I just felt like there was so much opportunity. And then yesterday I read your blog post. And I'm like, oh, perfect. And maybe you want to summarize what you were saying there. Because again, coming from you, especially coming from Salty Sage, it's so much more impactful.
So I mean, I didn't, when I usually write a blog post, it's on Substack. But it just doesn't feel, it just doesn't feel right. And I've had blogs, many blogs over the years. And I finally just decided to get, to restart a personal blog. And a lot of it goes to,
by the way, I see it's not a Freedom Controller based blog.
No, it's not. It's using a thing called, Zola.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like Hugo. It's a static site generator.
Mm-hmm.
But Zola's written in, it's a Rust, coded in Rust. And so, but it supports like the Hugo template language and all that kind of stuff. And one of the problems with, so I finally figured out that I've been looking for a good blog domain name for months. And I finally figured out that that I could get that one, DaveJones.blog. And it wasn't too much. So I spun that up on it's just running on an S3 bucket.
Yeah, you just drop the static files in there.
Yeah, put it behind Cloudflare. It's good to go. It's cost me like, going to cost me like 5 cents a month.
Mm-hmm.
So it was pretty simple. One of the problems you get into when you roll a new blog site always is you end up getting sort of obsessive about the blog itself and the way it looks everything.
Yeah.
And so you can spend hours going down the rabbit hole. And I find that process so tedious. Uh-huh. I was like, please, I want this thing and a theme and I just want to be done with it.
Yeah.
There was still a little bit of that happened, because like all I want out of a blog is the content. I don't want any like crap.
Yeah.
You know, I just want it to be like a newspaper.
What, you don't want a skyscraper banner?
Yeah. And like, you know, pop-ups and all this. Oh, it's just so annoying. So anyway, it stripped most of that out. But anyway, I think one of the things that made me finally decide to pull the trigger and actually do a roll a blog is that it's become pretty clear over the last few months I wouldn't say marketing is the problem with podcasting 2.0 and the namespace. It's just pure evangelism. There's just a lack of it. And in a specific, and I think it's in a really specific way. What I mean is there needs to be a consistent voice that is describing these thing that is describing these features in a way that is both technical and political and ideological. Like, it has to be sort of all of it wrapped. It needs to be. That's why this post is so long, is because it takes, you can't just say, and this is the mistake, a little bit of the mistake that I've made in the past with writing posts about features, is I tend to get really focused on the tech, which makes sense because, I mean, these are technical, technical implementations. But no, this is different, Daniel. This is I see what you're saying, but this, what I'm saying is a little bit different than podcasting2.org. That's podcasting2.org.
Another fine initiative.
Yeah, it's brilliant as a reference site and as a sort of portal into the namespace. But there needs to be, I think, some long form articles that go through, that start with, you know, here's a problem. It starts with, here's the framework of the world as it is. There are some problems with this framework. There's a solution that was created. Here is the way the solution is thought to address the problem. And then here's the technical implementation of how that happens. And finally, why you should care and put effort behind it.
That's a good format. And that is exactly what you did. That's a good format. I like that.
And it, by nature, these are going to be, you know, it's long. I mean, I've probably got 3.5-4 hours in this post to writing. I don't know if writing is hard for everybody, but writing well takes me a long time. And just there's a lot of thinking through it.
Is this Mark? Did you write this in, is this Markdown?
It is in Markdown.
Yeah. It's so beautiful when you do it in Markdown, you get code snippets and, you know, ball. It's just, it's a good way to write it.
Yeah. It's so much, it's just, Markdown, it feels like it makes things easier to me than even WordPress, mm-hmm. You know, but, so the point, you know, there's a few points I was trying to hit. You know, one of them is the podcast like the podcasting itself, specifically being defined as adding the enclosure tag to an RSS feed, was so early in the era of linear broadcasting to digital, does that transition?
Mm-hmm.
If RSS had had live and funding support from the beginning, it really could have been the default place where the, like, entertainment as we know it landed, with a huge choice of different apps to pick from. What I'm saying is podcasting today, it could be where we go to get all of our content.
I am in total agreement.
Right now, today in 2024, if live and funding and some other things like Russell's L402 implementation, if some of those things had been in place, micropayments, back in 2001, we may not have things like Hulu, Spotify, we may not have those things today. What instead we may have a list of 40 different apps to choose from that you go and you're really, it's podcast behind the scenes and you're buying content on it. You're sending payments, you're listening to live events. It really could have been just the natural transition, because what happened was people went from, initially it was websites. The media, the big media companies went from, you know, they all launched websites, and then you would have to go, like, if you wanted to go watch the Masters or whatever, instead of on TV, you would go to, you know, CBS website, and they would have a live stream of the Masters. Well, they went to the web. They could have gone to podcasting, which is just the web.
Well, but just to interject, two things. One, in the old country, we say if the queen had balls, she'd be king. The second one is that is exactly why RSS was a threat to companies like Google, exactly for that reason. Oh, no, we're the aggregator. We can't have people doing that themselves.
Yeah, it was subversive to that, to the capture.
Yep.
And so, like, I think live is so critically important, because if you look at it in those terms, looking back on history, that the missing live piece made it where it didn't fit. It was not a real alternative. It wasn't a choice.
Right.
You couldn't, because every media publisher is going to have some form of live and on demand. And so what you ended up with was these, like, this thing that we call podcasting, which is supposedly on demand, but you don't have a full catalog. You have a curation. So, like, think about it in these terms. John MacArthur, like, the Grace to You ministry. This one comes to mind because I was doing something with Godcaster this morning and ran into it. He's a preacher and he's at Grace Church out in California. You have three different ways to hear that material.
Mm.
You can tune into a Christian radio station and hear it in a linear fashion. It's just a live broadcast. You can go to the blog, you can go to the podcast, and then you're going to get a curated list of selected sermons from that ministry that they choose. Or you can go directly to the website or their app, and that's got the full catalog. That's a fully on-demand experience. And so in that, you can search every sermon he's ever preached and listen to whichever one you want. So podcasting exists in this sort of center lane, where it's not a true on-demand, because you don't have access to the full catalog and you don't pick what is in that limited catalog. But it's not live either. And so it's a sort of middle ground. And in order to make it, more fit with the modern media landscape, we've got to add the live piece.
Mm-hmm.
Cause the live piece truly puts it on par with something like, Spotify or SiriusXM or YouTube or something like that. If it doesn't have it, it's never going to be seen as an equal.
I agree. I'm all in. Yeah.
So that's where we're at. In Apple, Pocket Casts, Overcast, Castro, these apps really they need to support live. They just do. I understand the development cycle and that kind of thing, but they really do just need to add this support, because it's not, there is content out there. There is plenty of live content. I see stuff popping up in my live. If you follow on the Fediverse, if you follow the podcast live, podcasts live at podcastindex.social. That's John Spurlock's bot. Every time a new podcast goes live and starts streaming, that thing pops up. Right now, one just, you know, of course, ours popped up earlier, and now one just popped up called King Hero's Journey podcast is going live.
I don't even know what this is. That's all Podping signaling, right?
Yeah. And every time one pops, so there is content out there going live every single day. And if those, all it would take would be for one of those larger apps to implement this, support for this, and then you would see an immediate uptake in publishers and content creators go supporting this, because hosts like RSS.com, Podhome, they already got support for the Blueberry. They've got support for this already. And if you know how to do live content, you already have a live stream somewhere. Spinning up a live stream is not difficult. And it's typically, when it's audio, it's typically not very expensive.
May I introduce you to liquid soap programming language?
Please. I have no idea what that is.
It's when you said not difficult.
Sorry. Oh, is that wrong? Is it difficult?
Well, no. Different context. We'll get back to that later.
Oh, no. I mean, it's fun to talk about it now.
It's because I've been spinning up radio streams, and I had a very harrowing AI experience.
Oh, I want to hear about that.
Well, so I was able to successfully configure Icecast and Liquid Soap. Well, pretty straightforward stuff. But then I wanted to customize how it was working. And this is a very mature language. I mean, but it's a... what do you call it in programming? You call it a, I'm trying to think what it's called, functional language.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Which is very different from Adam's shell scripting experience.
The Adam shell scripting experience. That's like a ride at Disney World.
It is. Well, that's pretty much what it was, because I went through it with, you know, I figure, okay, well, ChatGPT and a couple of these AIs should be able to help me. This is what they're good at, right? Right. They can do it.
Oh, yeah. If they're good at anything, it's coding, right?
That's what I was led to understand. So I start, you know, I have a simple playlist, and then I just want to add some crossfade functions based upon what I want to do. And it's very sophisticated. You can make the next track start if the previous track dips below 30 decibels, you know, so you have a great crossfade in a long fade out song. I mean, it's just great stuff. And so I start to tinker with it. And of course, syntax error. So, okay. All right, ChatGPT. And ChatGPT just takes me down this path, and it keeps saying, oh, Adam, you're almost there. This one will really nail it. We'll get this working very soon.
It literally said you're almost there.
Oh yeah, many times, and then it would.
Oh no,
it would throw like a skull emoji. Ah no, it looks like we're in liquid soap hell. Well, we've got to do this. And it was. It went.
What chat was this?
It was a 440, whatever it is. I pay, ChatGPT? In fact, at a certain point, I was using it so long, it went, sorry, you've used this model too long, switching to a piece of crap model. I'm like, okay, I'll upgrade. No. So I'm paying $20 a month now for this thing, and I just keep going, and I can see it's going in circles. And I say, are you sure you have the documentation? And I link, and oh yeah, no, I've got all the, because the documentation is super extensive. It's got everything. And then it just keeps on going, and it keeps throwing errors, and it keeps telling me we're almost there, Adam. It keeps telling me, yeah, we're going to nail it this time. And then it goes to, well, it looks like we have to recompile your kernel. I'm like, okay, good night, ChatGPT. Yes.
Holy crap.
Oh, yeah.
They went to the nuclear option.
Oh, it actually said we're going to take the nuclear option on this at some point. I mean, it was so obvious. It had no idea what it was doing. It was really, really severely disappointing.
You know what this is? Okay, it hits me right now. Talking to one of these AI agents is, or AI chatbots, is like it's like talking to a crazy person genius. It's like talking to Ted Kaczynski. Where you're like, they bait you in because they're brilliant, and then they'll just say something. You're like, whoa, what? You're an idiot. Like, you're crazy. Like, you like they're genius, but they're also completely insane at the same time.
Mm. Yeah. So anyway, my point is, there's a lot of great tools. I mean, liquid soap is truly, truly masterful at what it can do. And that includes, you know, if you want to go live and the server can start, you can tell that in, you can do all, it means so many things. It's all open source. It's all out there. It's beautiful. There are many, many tools available, and right now could not be a better time. And I wouldn't say just the bigger apps. Anybody who does anything that kind of combines these two with some discovery and throw in streams, man. There's directories of streams that are off the hook. There's so much content out there. So much. I mean, you could have your own, you know, your own podcast station that's running podcast. I mean, there's a million different things you can do. But we're still, I'm a broken record on that we're stuck in this inbox model. So, but existing apps out there that can add in other stuff that they don't have, that they may already be doing. So your point is completely valid of merging these two, which is, I mean, that which brings me to the next point, which also came from the infinite dial. And that is one that people have been we haven't gotten it off the ground. And that is some type of community interaction. Now, Fountain does this very well. And I think Sam, I'm very excited about the forthcoming app versions of TrueFans, because I think that I think Sam sees it, and it'll come down to implementation as it always does. But the idea that you can interact with that group around a podcast or a media property, that's what YouTube does very well. It does it incredible. That's what Spotify has tried. You know, we kind of got stuck on the idea of cross app comments, and there's lots of stuff that comes into this that we'll bump into again, you know, moderation, all this different stuff. But even just the beauty of having a board, I have a troll room and I have a board room, and I have a lit tag on both of my most important shows. And it is truly a wonderful experience. I mean, we've got people. How many are? You got 52 in the boardroom. Are they all active? Let me see. I don't know if they're all active, but they're logged in. Yeah, it looks like it. And you know, they hang out after the show. That's what No Agenda Stream is. You know, it's noagenda.stream. It's unbelievable. There's a whole community in there, and they have basically a radio station. The No Agenda Stream, and you know, and people are in there, and they'll be like, oh, this show sucks, but they're still in there and they'll still be hanging out. And so adding this feature has just been lagging, and that's really where your final salty sage line landed. You know, it's like, hey, you know, if we don't do what they're doing, we're not even adding the basics, then shut up already. That's exactly what you said. Shut up already. I see it right here on the page.
It's a direct quote. Yeah, it's the last line of this.
Uh-huh.
This really comes down, all of this really comes down to implementation, like you said. The tech part of it is not that hard most of the time. I'm not going to say none of it's hard, because some of it actually is pretty hard. But maybe there's a better way to say that. It's not, I don't think the tech is what keeps people from doing some of these things. I don't think it's ever the tech. I think I made this comment a few weeks ago, is if you look at RSS itself, it's a total mess. I mean, the RSS 2.0 specification as written by Dave Weiner that is still, you know, this, what all this is based on. It's a complete, it's just a complete mess. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we may like we, the fact that this thing works, it is what that tells you is that the tech part is not the thing that's going to hold anything back.
Right.
It's really, it's more, it's a will to do it. And it is the clear vision of what to do. And so I tried to make that point in this article as well, that when you have a standard or a specification, the parts of that specification, you know, and the parts of that specification carry meaning with them. So when I'm a podcast app developer and I am writing, I'm parsing an RSS feed and I hit the item tag, I know in my head that that item tag means episode. That's what this thing really is. Mm-hmm. It's an episode of an audio program. And so that meaning, it become, that meaning is attached by me to this technical description that I'm seeing. Now, there's modifiers that can happen to that. And this goes into the realm of why we always say the names are not important. Because item, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. It's the most generic term ever. We don't know that this is an episode because the name of the tag is item.
Right.
We know that it's an episode because we know that item means episode in the context of a podcast RSS feed.
Or item as blog post, or item as a song track, etc.
Yes. So if you look at the RSS feed of my blog, if you just open it up, there's an item right there. And I know that if I'm writing in the context, if I'm writing an app in the context of a blog reader, that item means article. But if I'm writing a app in the context of a podcast app and I'm dealing with XML, I know that item means episode, show means audio episode or video episode, whatever. It means an episode of a show. Mm-hmm. And so those meanings that we attach in their proper context have, that's what does all the work.
To make it even crazier, this may be even a better example, because I'm looking at your RSS feed because I do what the Pod Sage tells me to do.
Go and look at the RSS feed.
Your actual article is under the description tag.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
So what is that describing?
it's literally the article, but it's not a description of the article.
No.
It's the let's keep going down this track. The description in the RSS feed is the article.
Yeah.
But in my template language for the blog itself, the description is a summary, a short summary of the article. So there's another word in the template language.
That's right. Description, considering the
next
thing. And
that's not the article.
Right.
So these names don't mean anything, and we don't expect them to mean anything most of the time.
Such a good point.
I want to actually read this real quick. I started reading a book a couple of weeks ago called Ancient Near East Thought in the Old Testament.
Hold on a second. We need some music for you.
Do I get music for this? Okay.
I think you need some music for that. Let's see what I've got here. No, that's not it. Sorry, that's not it. No, that's not it.
Yeah, so I read this last night and it stuck out to me. It says, when it comes to the formulation of our modern theology based on the biblical text, we may logically conclude that without the guidance of background studies, we are bound to misinterpret the text at some point. A text can be thought of as a web of ideas linked by the threads of writing. Each phrase and each word communicates by the ideas and thoughts that it will trigger in the mind of the reader or the hearer. We can then speak of potential meanings that the words point to as gaps that need to be filled, one hopes, appropriately, meaning by the audience. So what he's saying is it's not necessarily the words themselves that convey the meaning. It's your understanding of the context of what you're reading.
Yes, exactly.
There's going to be this thing is telling you something, and you think you understand what it's saying, and so you fill in the gaps in your understanding by your past experiences, current experiences, all these other things. You bring meaning to it rather than it being purely the other way around. And so that's what I'm saying here. So when you add like the medium tag, suddenly we're not talking about a podcast anymore. When you see an item, the medium is music. Now you're talking about a music track.
Right.
So all these things keep changing. So these, when we define the live item tag, when we wrote that tag as a group, I think maybe Alex, did Alex write that?
I think he did.
I want to try to be better about giving credit for things. I'll make sure I find that information. But when we initially did that tag, it made the most sense to define it as a new tag rather than adopt the item into this new thing, not because the item itself couldn't do that, but because there needed to be a sense of context that we wanted to convey to a developer that says, this is a different thing. And so it's different enough to where we want you to be able to attach a new meaning to this thing. And that meaning is that this thing is never going to be a regular episode. It's always going to be a live episode. It's a different animal altogether. Mm-hmm. That also has the fortunate side effect of making it easier to implement, because you don't have to do a lot of sort of heuristic parsing. So Daniel made a comment in the boardroom saying that a RSS episode, an RSS item with an enclosure is a podcast.
No.
Well, not necessarily. That's not true.
It could be a music track.
It could be a blog post.
Mm-hmm.
With a section of content that is not an audio version of the post. It could be just an inserted clip of something the post talked about. And that wouldn't necessarily make much sense in the context of a podcast app. But I'm glad he said that, because that sort of exposes the problem here. That there is when you have to do heuristics, when you have to begin to interpret what this thing is based on a set of criteria where you say, okay, if this thing contains one of these and one of these other things, then it's this. But if it contains this and X, Y plus Z, now it's this. So when you have to start sort of stringing together a set of heuristics, it becomes too complicated. So we did the live item. It's clear. It's straightforward. It's easy to interpret. And I think it makes the entire process very straightforward. Now there's of course going to be issues. There's going to be hurdles I have to overcome. Like you said, is implementation,
mm-hmm,
is always the hurdle. Franco with Castomatic is going through this right now, and I really want to get him on the show. He's got a direct conflict with timing that we may have to like bump the board meeting to a different time slot. To
yeah, get because him on. Of what is it, 7 hour time difference?
Yeah, yeah. He said he's usually commuting right during the show. So, but I want to get him on because I think it would be.
He's got an iPhone. What's his problem? Just put in your earbuds. You're good to go, yeah. Man. Come on, Franco, get with it.
I think it would be immensely valuable to hear him talk about his journey through implementing Live. Because I've said this before, I think Cast-O-Matic is the quintessential version, is the quintessential example of implementation of any of these features.
Hmm.
Because it is a completely disconnected app. It has no server backend. It doesn't. It's a completely self-contained app. It's doing RSS the way RSS was always meant to be, which is it's consuming and parsing all of the feeds by itself.
Oh, he's not even hitting the index for that?
He hits the index sometimes, but it's always from the app.
Right.
It's never a back-end server that he runs. So that, to me, is if that is sort of like I use this as a sort of measuring stick. If Cast-O-Matic can do it, then anybody can do it.
And like he works as a doctor 4 days a week.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Couple of his patients have died, but otherwise it's a great app.
he's like, have you listened to my podcast? I'm like, what? I just want a shot. Like as Somerset said, Cast-O-Matic, and it keeps us grounded. I think that's true.
Mm.
It's sort of a clean room, you know. Of implementation. If Franco can do it, there's no excuses. So I really want to have him get him on here and talk about.
Okay. Well, we can totally change it. Might actually be a good idea. Friday, April 11th. I tried. I couldn't get out of it.
Oh, what is it?
8:30 AM jury duty.
Oh no. Oh, when is the last time you had jury duty?
I've never had to be on jury duty. I've always gotten out of it. And this is for Gillespie County. And and you go through the online process and then, you're expecting to, well, where's my, they have all these, I can't do it because I'm fighting a war in a foreign country. I'm 100 years old, all this different stuff.
Yeah, right.
And then so I go through that expecting to have a box that says, no, I can't for this reason. I got the board meeting, man. And no.
I'm a podcaster.
Yeah, I'm a podcaster. I can't do that. I'm a podcaster. And no. It's like, yeah, no, you can't do that. Shit, we'll see you at 8:30. If you don't, it's $500 a day penalty. So I hope to be able to go there and say, well, first of all, I have plane tickets for Monday, the 14th. I'm going to Europe for a couple days. So,
Oh, I hope it's done by then.
Well, I hope they don't sequester me. I'm going to say I can't. Well, we'll see what happens.
I've never been requested for jury duty in my entire life.
Oh, that changes as of today. They heard you now. They heard you.
Well, isn't it funny how that works? So some people get hammered all the time, and other people say you never get a request.
Yeah, well, Doge is now going to change all that.
I've somehow slipped through the cracks of the jury selection system.
Yeah. You're off the grid, man. Do you even pay taxes?
No, I think, so going forward, I will be writing more of these sorts of articles. I don't know how spaced out they'll be because it does take time.
Mm.
But I think it's very important for lots of different reasons, just so that we have a plain language description of these features and all the context that goes around them. Because I think we're sort of past a lot of the technical hurdles. I mean, we're still making tags and stuff. I mean, it's not like things are finished, but there's a big body of work that's already been created here, and there's so much misunderstanding about it. I heard on Pod News Weekly Review, I heard James saying that publisher feeds required use of the GUID, and that's not accurate. Even the people that are intimately involved in the podcasting 2.0 work don't fully understand the details of a lot of this. And so for that reason, it's important to have a consistent set of sort of evangelistic articles that go through and do a comprehensive overview of every aspect of these features so that there's no misunderstandings. And also so that if there's ever any questions or misunderstandings, we can just point them back to not necessarily to the docs, to the documentation, but point them first.
Yes. To excellent idea.
Yeah. To the sort of complete picture that with links to the docs as necessary.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Yeah. Dreb. Yeah, Drip said, Dave, I bet it's mentally therapeutic for you to write like this too. It absolutely is. That's an interesting thing that you just said. I had not thought about that, but it does feel very good to lay out in complete detail a feature, because then it's just sort of like you get it out of your system, because you sort of build up this mental pressure over time where you hear this misunderstanding and this misunderstanding and this misconstruence and all these, there's all these sort of like, there's ways that you're wanting to address all these little misunderstandings and fires and put them all out, but it's too scattered. And so then you can take all of that stuff and wrap it all up into one definitive answer that says, here is the thing.
I think this is a very good idea. And the problem we keep bumping into is there's this inherent nature of people to want to have a leader, want to have who's running the project, who's doing this. We need the hosting companies to pay for apps. I don't think that's ever going to work that way. My experience, and this is why Stephen B is my hero forever, is if you're publishing the content, if you're creating the content, and I use every single tag available, which is why you were actually able to use those examples in your blog post. I've always thought that's what people like. That's what they develop against. And, so I love when I see, cause I hadn't actually looked at it in a long time. I look at the live item tag for this podcast, and right there, it's got the status, it's got the pending, the start and the end times, it's got the the chat server information, it's got the social interact, it's got all of it in there. And I always thought, well, if I'm just publishing this continuously, people will see it, and this is how podcasting was bootstrapped, man. Like, people would change something, and I'd add it to my feed, and then publish the daily source code. And we have all this stuff. We're publishing it. You can test against it with live stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. Same for No Agenda. It's not a small show, by the way. If you create a kick-ass app, I promote it. I've been doing it for years now, ever since this show started, podcastapps.com. From time to time, I'll mention one of the podcasts. It's always going to be one that has the live item tag. That understands it, because that's part of the beauty of it. And when I tell people, this is my pitch, besides the wonderful chapters, when we go live, you'll get a notification right there in your app. It'll tell you it's the bat signal. We're going live. You can listen where you get your podcast, you listen to us live. And then when we publish it 90 seconds later, you'll be notified that it's there. You don't have to wait 2 hours for Apple. Mm-hmm. It's a great pitch. People love that.
Now, excuse me, I'm sorry. Now, I just think, like, I feel...
You feel like a woman.
I feel like a woman. I think that the biggest hurdle now is just getting adoption by apps. And I don't know any other way to do it than just write. You know, this is another one of those things that last week with our talk with Tom
mm-hmm.
is I realized that I sort of forgotten how powerful writing is. And because, you know, the reason we had Tom on the show is because he wrote an article and we all read it and it all meant something to us and we dissected it. And then, you know, Matt felt a certain way and he responded to it. And then we read it and felt a certain way and we had him on the show. All of these things sort of happened around a lot of writing
mm-hmm.
that happened. And I think that I had sort of forgotten that.
So really the failure of podcasting 2.0 is your fault, is what you're saying.
I'm perfectly willing to accept that. The failure. Yes. The death of podcasting 2.0 is my fault. Yes. Yeah. Cause we all know it's dead. It's dead.
It's
Jim.
Dead. It's dead. She's dead, Jim. I love the side channel part because that when you see that, that's when you really see how rich, and I'm referring to the blog post link in the show notes. That's where you really see how rich this environment is. By the way, I can't interact with Disney Plus. I can't sit there and chat with people about, House of David that I'm watching on Amazon. I'd love to. I can't do any of that. I can't write from, I should be able to write from Hulu, or how about this? Write from Angel Studios for The Chosen. Man, if they had a funding tag in there, I'd click on it and I'd fund them.
Yeah.
Funding tag, please.
Cash.
People, yeah. Funding tag, please, people, bring that back into your apps. Bring it in and make it clear what it is. This is something I've noticed is that we've gotten very used to iconography. And man, it's hard sometimes.
What do you mean?
So in Godcaster, we have a heart for donations, which in church language is giving.
Oh, okay.
It's giving. But in lots of podcast app language, a heart means I'm favoriting that, or it might be a star. You know, there's all kinds of different icons for the same function, and mm-hmm. And I'm kind of torn. Is that really the choice of the developer, or is it a choice of the publisher, or is it a combination of the two? Because I have to say, if you want to support this podcast, what is that? What kind are you drinking?
LaCroix Pure.
Mm.
I want to be unadulterated on the show today.
Do I say in Podverse, tap on the stack of money icon? And, so there's all these different ways. And I don't have an answer. I'm just throwing it out there.
I think I have an answer.
Of course you do. You're the pod sage.
Not like that, but I mean, like, I think I have something like an answer, and that's, the publisher feed, I think, is going to become more important over time.
Hmm.
You know what? There's another, I'm already thinking of something else that needs to be written here. And that's, how hard it is to have a vision of something that is going to take a long time and get people not to be frustrated and to just sort of trust, not even trust, sort of see the vision along with you, you know, like, because some of these things are just going to take a very, very,
long time. Long time. Yes, they do. This is why we're still doing it.
Yeah, 5 years.
Yeah, we're not actually getting paid to do this, people. we're doing this because we care.
And it may take another 10 years or 15 years for some of these things to come to fruition. That doesn't mean they failed. So, but you know, I think the publisher thing, the publisher feed is going to potentially be, is going to have something to do with what you're talking about.
Interesting. Because you can define that in the publisher feed?
Yeah, I think so.
I like that.
The publisher feed could become sort of the way that you deliver styles and iconography and these other sort of visual guidance to the end platform, be it an app or whatever.
Hmm.
I mean, it doesn't mean the app has to do it. It just means that you can deliver it and say, hey, if you show, I don't know how this would be described in the markup, but I'm just saying, like, maybe somewhere in the markup of the publisher feed, there's a description language that says, hey, support links that lead to donation pages. We want them to have an icon that looks like a stack of coins instead of a heart.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that makes a lot of sense. I like that.
And it doesn't mean that the apps have to do it, but they have the option of letting the publisher control the UI in some way. So that the publisher could say, well, you know, this is what I would like it to look like.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, we've already run into that with some, you know, some people don't want money icons on their.
No, they want the words give.
Yeah. You know, or something like that. So, I mean, everybody's going to have different sort of, you know, versions of that same thing. So
thank you for that silence. I love that. That's one of my favorite things in a podcast.
I mean, we can just roll the rest of the show out like that. I got a mute button right here.
Pensive thoughts.
Pensive. I mean, I've got a book. I just read this book. I can just finish reading this chapter.
I just realized that GitHub has a blame section.
Did you say blame?
Blame.
Bling?
Yeah, blame. BLAME. Blame.
For what?
Well, I'm looking at the namespace. I'm looking at publishers.md. It has preview, and then it has the code, and then it has a tab called blame.
The blame feature in GitHub helps track changes in a file, showing who last modified each line.
Who's to blame?
Oh, well, me, always. Yeah, it's always my fault.
I didn't realize that it was called blame.
It should be a Dave button. It should be blame.
I'm blaming, just blaming on Dave.
Yeah.
All right. How do we close out this conversation here? How do we end this?
What needs to be tackled next? I mean, as far as like, when it comes to, you know, writing and evangelism, what needs?
Well, you know, this is part of our, if we have any issue, it's we move on quickly to the next thing. Maybe we try out this process with one mm-hmm. tag, with the live item tag, get Franco on the show. Since he keeps us grounded and really focus on this, send people to, you know, one tag at a time, right? One inch at a time.
Okay.
And this is a huge tag, and it's one that we already see, media opportunities for beyond what podcasting is today. So maybe this is the one. And I will tell you that there are companies out there looking very, very closely at the live item tag.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Rocky. We see you listening.
And we're going to have her on the show too, right?
I hope so. I see she responded to me. I got to get back to her.
Because she sees tremendous opportunity for her own company, but for podcasting in general, of course, for the podcast industrial complex, which we're not necessarily beholden to, but we want to help. So I think Chapters, I think, was very successful. There was already a Chapters out there. So, you know, it was already kind of in the works. And some apps are just never going to do it. But when I see Pocket Cast doing it, I'm very happy. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's great. So, and I think we could even get Pocket Cast to do the live item tag.
Oh, I think there's no doubt they will do it. I think they absolutely will do it. I have no doubt in my mind that within, you know, a couple of years, they'll have it in there.
Excellent. Couple of years. They go, couple of years. It should be done today. Podcasting's dying. We got to do it now.
And that's the problem. And that's the whole problem. I like what you're saying. We need to stay on one tip for a while.
Yeah, just the tip.
Just stay on this one tip for a while. Because that's the other problem is that the sort of like news cycle, you know, you put out an article or something like that. And then if you don't follow up, if you don't kind of continue to write and put out information, it just gets completely lost. So we'll need to, I'll need to continue on this sort of strain until we start to see some movement. Or at least run it until, you know, we think we've sort of wrenched every drop out of the evangelism effort that we can possibly do.
Yeah. And I think that we should probably, you know, if something just isn't being adopted for whatever reason, then maybe that's a signal we take as, well, maybe we need to move on to a different one.
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah.
And then that can be our leadership evangelism role.
Evangelism. We also need to have Matt Medeiros on the show because he's an evangelist.
He's a troublemaker, man. I don't know if we want him on the show. He's trouble. He's a YouTuber. He's not a podcaster.
Whoa! Oh, throwing down that now you really got to have him on the show. So I want to hear Spicy Matt.
Mad Matt, you mean not Spicy Matt? Mad Matt.
Matt, I want to hear that. Okay, yeah, you just those were fighting.
I did fighting words on the show in the board meeting. All right, let me see. Oh, let's thank some people, Dave, and we can wrap up with some nice love talk.
Okay.
I'll kick it off. We have been receiving some live boosts, as much appreciated, and some good ones too. 11,155 from Ross Clart. Ross Clart. I don't know. I don't know if I've ever seen
Ross. How do you spell Ross Clart?
RaasClart. Ross Clart. I think we've got to defragment Ross Clart.
You've been defragmented.
I don't think Ross Clart has ever boosted in. I could be wrong.
Isn't that Dreb Scott's kids?
Well,
the defragmented.
Yes, I believe so. Ross Clart says, appreciate you, INPC. INPC.
Impk.
Intkp. What does that mean?
Intkpuk.
In no particular case.
It's an abbreviation for anthropnetic.
1,000 sats from, and he's coming in from Podverse. Actually, there's CLOS on Linux, just coming in with a fresh boost. 1,000 sats. Almost got run over. I'm on a walk and it's dark. Normally I have a light, but that wasn't charged. Car got very close, man. I don't want to die listening to Dave talk about riding the tip. Don't walk around at night in all black. Let that be a warning to all of you.
If you have to go out, I really don't want you to go out listening to my voice. I want it to be much more meaningful than that.
CLOS comes back with another 1,000 sats. The tech part is not hard. Bro, my feed parser is already over 1,500 lines long and it doesn't work yet. I don't even want that much data from a feed. Probably should refactor it, but people are put out a lot of bad different things in their feeds. Well, yes, this is why the podcast index exists. This is why we're here to handle
normalization.
Handle that stuff for you. Another CLOS on Linux. AI now is good when you do code stuff that is common. Also, don't go in with threads too long. It's going to screw up too. Don't use AI for code if you don't know how to read what it wants to do. Well, that's very helpful, and that's not the promise. That is not the promise.
Another reason why Satya Nadella is full of crap is because Copilot, I've tried to use it 2 times. I've tried to use it in Excel, and I asked it to produce a pie chart for me, and it said, chug, 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 chug.
It actually says chug? It says chug?
Yeah, it does a chug. It doesn't say a chug.
Oh, okay.
It just chugs along for a minute, and then it pops up, and it goes, bing, I made you a pie chart. But where's that pie chart? It's not there. You can't find it.
It's probably it's on your OneDrive.
Go get it out of the folder on your OneDrive. And then today I used it. I was looking at clearly a phishing email, and I hit the summarize button at the top of my Outlook window. And I thought, because I hit it, because I'm thought, I wonder if it'll tell me this looks like a phishing email, because it was clearly a phishing email.
Yeah.
And so I hit the summarize button, and guess what happened?
It summarized.
Outlook crashed.
Outlook crashed. Wow.
Yes. So I opened Outlook back up, hit the summarize button again, and it crashed again.
Wow. Like,
okay, this thing is a piece of crap.
Wow. But it's the future. And, you know, this will all work great when we have quantum computing. So don't worry. It's all coming. Yeah, once quantum
that's
is
what
here.
It needs. Yeah, it needs what it needs.
You ever notice that they talk about qubits in quantum computing?
Qubits.
Uh-huh. Yeah, where else do you know? I only know qubits from one other place.
What is that?
From the Bible.
But it's spelled different.
It's spelled differently, sure. But you can't fool me, Silicon Valley.
No, they're building qubits. The digital Noah's Ark.
That's right. Row of ducks from Lyceum coming in from PodFans. Dave, welcome back to the blogosphere. I've been blogging since 2002. This is Martin Lindeskog. I will read your long-form blog post during the weekend. I will link to it in the near future. I am more of a pundit blogger. You have the ducks in a row. I look forward to going live in the future as soon as I've figured out the way of doing it on podhome.fm. All the best. Martin Lindeskog.
Martin, can I get on your blog roll?
Just came in 5,000 sats from the No Agenda Millennial. Basing your AI view on Copilot or ChatGPT is like saying podcast apps suck and only use Apple and Spotify. Might I suggest Claude AI? Yes, you might. Sure. But I'm not doing it again. I've got Void Zero. Void Zero AI reached out to me through Telegram and said, "Silly man, I know everything about liquid soap. Let's do a coding session together." Like, that's what I want.
I don't want artificial intelligence. I want actual intelligence.
Exactly. Well, I'm getting it. That's what's so beautiful. 500. Oh, no, wait. Let me see. 10,948 Israeli freedom boost from Sir Brian of London.
Hey, Brian.
Coming in on Podverse. If anyone in the audience is a current computer science student, PhD student, or researcher and wants to help me publish something about Podping, get in touch. I want to talk. Dr. Brian of London.
Yay.
Dr. Nice. Brian. 420.
Brian back on the saddle.
Yes. 420. Well, he's not being bombarded with missiles recently, so
it's, yeah, it's more easier time. To think.
It's easier to think when missiles aren't dropping on your head. 420 sats from Lyceum coming in from True Fans. Adam, what are your plans for April 20th? I'm not a pothead, but I am for legalization. Here's a super comment with 420 Satoshis. Best premises. Oh, that's Martin Lindeskog again. I don't celebrate that anymore. I've never really have. 1234 from Salty Crayon. Salty Sage. Dave will need to verify his favorite flavor of crayon, a mix between beef milkshake and popcorn. In the pipe!
Periwinkle. That's my favorite crayon.
1,000 again from CLOS on Linux. The blue check mark on X is paid. Yes, it costs about $50 a month now. 54 in Germany for the highest tier called Premium Plus.
Good Lord.
Salty Crayon on CurioCaster. He got the bat signal. Thank you very much. Then let me see. Do we have the Randy Black? That's just before the delimiter, so we'll hit that one. 5,000 sats from Podverse. Dave Jones must be commended and acknowledged for the legend he is. A tremendous blog post on the value of live podcasting came out and was able to be featured in the Pod News newsletter. Way to go, Dave. Running with scissors. But be sure to not raw dog it like you did with that curry. God. What?
It was tremendously long. That is
what?
True.
What? True. What? What? Yeah. And then just on the very edge here, the cutting edge, 4.7s from Dreb Scott. That's why I heard the angel boost. And one more 1,000 sad boost from CLOS and Linux. You only don't celebrate 420 because of those 6 BTC you spent. That's right. That's right. I once bought what was the name of the online marketplace?
Silk Road.
Silk Road. Yeah. When Silk Road was just starting up and I tried it, and I'm like, well, and we did it on no agenda. I was like, well, let me see if I can buy some weed. And I bought a baggie of weed for 6 Bitcoin.
6 Bitcoin. I mean, I thought I was a genius. And when I sold 6 Bitcoin, back, you know, a few years ago for $1,800 each for a trip to California, I was like,
awesome,
man, I sold it right at the top.
Nailed it. Nailed it. Well, they're just coming in hot now. Four sevens from Gagglepod. Gagglepod. That's Kyle from Once Told here. Once Told. I think he needs to be defragmented.
You've been defragmented.
I wonder if podcast hosting companies know that they can support the lit tag without needing to provide the actual streaming server. Love you guys. Have a great weekend. Go podcasting.
Go podcasting.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
RSS.com does, and Blueberry both. They both do that.
And Podhome and I think RSSBlue.com support it. And Podhome even gives you a streaming server.
Yeah.
Spin one up.
I think they're the only one so far that does.
Yeah.
But the rest of them that support, yeah, they definitely know that.
Uh-huh. It's easy, man. Just get yourself some liquid soap, Icecast server, and ChatGPT. You'll be on the road soon.
Yeah, it's just that simple. Mm-hmm. And once you recompile your kernel, you'll be good to go.
Man, what a piece of crap. I could not believe it. Oh, looks like we got to recompile your kernel so FFmpeg will work perfectly. I don't think so. I'm not that stupid.
I have not recompiled a Linux kernel in many, many years. And I wonder what it's even like now. It used to be this.
Yeah, there's this sort like of, DOS screens.
Yeah, and you would walk through it and choose the modules you wanted to load and all this
yes,
stuff.
Yes,
you
know? I've done it. But what is this?
And back in the old days with like Red Hat 6.2 and stuff, you needed to recompile your kernel because it has so much bloated crap in it.
I love Boostagram. So I just got a Boostagram for the No Agenda show, episode 1750, 1,000 sats from someone actually. And the Boostagram is, Adam pissed me off basically the entire episode. I love that.
They paid you to say that.
That makes me feel so good. Thank you. Appreciate that. All right. I hit the delimiter here. So you're up, Dave.
Oh, the boys at RSS.com, Ben and Alberto, 1123.58.
Boom!
Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
You guys, thank you so much. That is truly... truly fantastic. Keeps the servers running, boys. Thank you.
Thank you to Adam and Dave. Like the Fibonacci sequence, your work is a symbol of growth, balance, and beauty. Each step amplifying the last, pushing open podcasting forward. Alberto, Ben, and the team at RSS.com.
You guys rock. Thank you.
They said they're going to be at Evolutions, and I was talking to Alberto in the emails this morning about some... stuff with the index database dump.
Now, is there a PSP get together at the at Podcast Medium? Is that what's happening?
I don't know. I'm remiss because I have not read the article that they put out, because they just posted something.
Oh,
the
they
other
did.
Day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like a we're not dead yet article or whatever. Let's see, podcast standards.
Was it pod? Yeah, pod standards.
Pod standards. There
blog.
It is.
Let me see. What we've achieved and what comes. When is this? When was this posted?
It was posted like maybe 2 days ago, I think.
Oh, this is a nice article. Okay, I'm going to put that in the show notes as well. Okay.
Yeah, I like this. I sort of skimmed it, but I printed it out to go back and read later.
I just did that today with something. I love printing it out and then reading it. It really does help.
It's so much better on the eyes, you know?
Yeah.
We got some monthlies. We got, I need to do Boostagrams. What am I doing?
Yes. What are you doing?
Oh, Bruce, the ugly quacking duck, 2222 through Podcast Guru. He says, another good episode. Tom definitely has the typical radio voice.
Yes, he does.
Even though he's never been on the radio.
He's a liar. I don't believe him for a second. He's been on NPR for years.
NPR. Yes.
Tom Webster.
Been on NPR.
Tom Webster, NPR, all things considered.
He was on the Weekend Edition. That's what he The B team. I always liked the Weekend Edition of all things of the NPR. They had like, they weren't your typical, they had like more energy and stuff. They didn't like they were dead inside. Yeah.
So true.
Comic strip blogger, the Delimiter 17655 through Fountain. Comic strip blogger says, "Howdy, Bitcoin bros, Adam and Dave. Today, I'd like to recommend mini No Agenda podcast called Planet Rage by two Irish Americans, Larry Blydner and Darren O'Neill. They basically play clips and swear in vulgar language and badmouth Trump haters and Ukraine lovers. Find them at www.planetrage.show. Relaxing podcast for MAGA folk. Yo, CSB."
I like Planet Rage.
Haven't listened to it in a while.
They go live as well, and it's always a perfect walking the dog in the afternoon live show. And I often wind up boosting while walking and boosting from my flip phone, which is even more interesting because you can fat finger that thing. Oops, I didn't mean to send 500,000 sats. It's they're an interesting team. I like them. It's a good show.
It's just a great name too. Planet Rage.
Exactly the opening of Planet. Have you ever heard the opening of Planet Rage?
I haven't listened to that show in about 2 years, so no. I don't know. Don't remember what it.
Oh man, you got to hear it. Hold on a second. Planet Rage. Let me see. Where is it? Here we go. Listen to the. Oh, here we go. Open up the here.
Because that's the way the fucking law is written, you prick.
That's the opening.
Well, they're doing kind of the No Agenda format with. In fact, it's a mini No Agenda, as Comics or Blogger said, and they do a little clip at the beginning. Just listen to the opening montage, though.
The U.S. strikes back, killing a member of the Islamic State.
Whole world going to shit. Planet.
I nailed it. It's exactly you did. You nailed exactly the way it goes.
That's funny. We got some monthlies. We got Michael Kimmerer, $5.33. Chris Bernardick, $5. Dreb Scott, hey Dreb, $15.
Dreb's the man.
Jordan Dunville, $10. James Sullivan, $10. Cohen Glossbach, $5. Christopher Reamer, $10, and Pedro Goncalves, $5. That's our group.
Ah, lovely. Thank you all so much. Look at the time. Perfect. 1 hour, 27 minutes and 21 seconds, which means we could drag it out. But I have a call coming up at 2:30. I need to publish this thing, so I'll get it out. Brother right. Dave, thank you. You really brought it today, man. Well, thought out. Thank you for the blog post. And I love the kind of the direction that we're going to take. And go lit, everybody. Go lit. That's the term for today is go lit. Go lit or go lit home.
Or shut up.
That's right. Thank you, board meeting. Thank you, board room. We appreciate y'all. Dave, have yourself a great weekend, brother.
You too, man.
We'll see you next week, everybody.
Podcasts are cool.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
I feel like a woman.